Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. You are tuning in to the live radio blog talk broadcast of The Word is Right, which is in conjunction with Past Generation, Lost in the Mix, Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders, from the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the district superintendent is Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. Top of the 9:30 morning hour to you. I am so excited to be on the broadcast this morning, although I am tired. But just before we get into our topic, I want to give a shout-out to, my cousin, W.I. Sanders, and many of you all know, passed away on the 23rd of August, and that's still kind of heavy and hit the family. Continue to keep his wife, Melody, and coming up, for those of you who are in the Illinois area and the Chicagoland location, you are welcome to attend the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Incorporated Church of God in Christ, is having their building church edifice dedication service. Yes, we found a building. And the address is 860 East 75th Street, located at the corner of East 75th and Drexel Boulevard. So you are welcome to attend that service. Start at 4 o'clock with the jurisdictional prelate, Bishop Robert R. Sanders Sr., will be officiating along with the General Jurisdictional Committee for that service on this Sunday at 4 o'clock, September the 11th. Following, after that, September 22nd, will be the Elevation Dinner for District Superintendent Sanders and the new church edifice building dedication banquet, which will be held at the Beverly Woods Banquet, located 11532 Southwestern Avenue, Chicago, and you will arrive at 6:30. We have our International Chairman of the Pastors and Elders Council, Superintendent Michael Eady, would be our guest speaker. Donation is $30. Please attend and support the Redeemed Fellowship and the Bishop Leroy Works Memorial District. Okay, on this morning, the topic that you see, many of you on Facebook, says, does titles affect our cognitive thinking, or is it an ego trip? I have noticed for years that growing up in the church, I have seen people that were mothers, missionaries for years. They didn't seek titles. They didn't seek positions. And it appears from what I'm looking at that a lot of people get high-minded when they become a pastor. Being a pastor is nothing now as opposed being a bishop. Everybody want to be a bishop. Everybody want to be an archbishop. Everybody want to be bishop. Is that why do you feel you need to be these things? That is one of the things that have plagued our political and religious world, as their titles. People seek for a title to find their own identity, and they don't even know what their identity is, so they go after a title to make them feel affirmed or to make them feel secure. Let's look at some things, because it's causing a lot of dishonorable relationships with each other, and you end up not liking each other because of the arrogancy that comes with the title. But is it the title itself, or is it the person that have the title? Most people have heard the line, power corrupts. The question is asked, why and how does power corrupt leaders? The answer is complex but fairly clear. Leadership at its core is about all power and influence. Leaders use their power to get things done. A simple distinction is between two forms of power. Socialized power is power used to benefit others. We hope that our elected officials have this sort of power in mind and are primarily concerned with the best interests of their constituents. In the political realm, we already see that, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton and Donald Trump are at it. She's a female, he's a male. He's wealthy and a millionaire. I'm for sure she's well off as well. But a lot of the battles, I've never heard anyone during the Democratic National Convention or the Republican Party, have I heard anyone say, listen, this is what we need to do. We need to put all of our titles down and come to agreement and learn what we need to do to protect this country, to give the citizens of the United States of America the best health care, where they got to be able to, you know, work, have the best health care, not because even with welfare, the welfare system with those who receive Medicare, they're going through a lot because some of the suppliers, the health companies, are cutting off certain medications because they may feel one medication is a luxury as opposed to your maintenance-based medication. So you have a lot of that they need to be fighting for, the housing market, employment, you know, education, because now you have a lot of schools who are falling into hoops with not being able to take the financial aid correctly and properly give the students what they're due just plus they're paying for their education. So you have a lot of that going on. In leadership, I don't hear nobody talking. I hear a lot of blah, 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 or wah, 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 wah. That's all I'm hearing. I'm not hearing no facts. I'm not hearing no proof. I had told a preacher, you know, if you want to vote for Donald Trump, that's your business. But my thing is, do you care about anybody else other than yourself? When I saw the arrogancy in that conversation, I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to fool with you because your mind is saying kill people, although you don't know everybody's circumstances because you're wealthy yourself. You're rich yourself. You got it all going on yourself. That's what I'm hearing about titles. So when the titles get in the way, then your personality is non-existent to me. And that's what I'm seeing in the church. A lot of men, I'm a bishop, I'm a minister, I want to be, I. We see the fighting battle on YouTube all the time. This is what makes people become stupid. Sin makes you stupid. And so when you get a title, it does not entitle you to be bigger than anybody else. If your attitude and your behavior is unseemly, then your title don't mean anything to anybody. My husband, one thing about it, when it comes to him, a lot of people would think that he is like his father. I promise you he's not. He is nothing like his father. He doesn't allow his status to go beyond the head. Not saying that my father-in-law does. No, he doesn't either. But when you are assigned a task, as a leader, there comes a lot of perks and it comes a lot of disappointments. It's all in how you handle it as a leader. I am finding that in our case as African Americans, some of our people do not know how to handle a title. Still, I'm above the law. I'm above the world. No, you ain't above nothing. Get yourself somewhere and sit down and get a clue because it's not about you. Number one, Ike Turner made it very well clear to Tina, the people are out there waiting on me. No, they wasn't waiting on you. They was waiting on Tina. You just playing the instrument. They didn't care. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying the title. Does the title put us on an ego trip or does the title make us who we are? Let me finish continuing discussing this. So now, the other form of power is called personalized power. And it is using power for personal gain. Importantly, these two forms of power are not mutually exclusive. A leader can use his or her own power to benefit others, but can also gain personally There are no poor former U.S. presidents, I promise you that. The obvious problem is that when personalized power dominates, the leader gains, often at the followers' expense, and they do. Because one thing about it, and you all have heard me say this many times, I am not afraid of no religious leader. You know why? Because I've sat under leaders who predominantly told us, bend over, do as I say, blah, blah, blah. And I always had that combative spirit. That was into the word of God. I literally was into the word of God for real. And so, therefore, I'm like, oh, no. The Bible told me not to fear man, but to fear God. That's who I fear. I don't fear man because man did not create me. Man did not give me life, breath, or gave me the opportunity to live in this world. Man did not birth me into his will. So my whole thing is I'm not afraid of no leader because you know why? Because they've already mentally abused me. So my thing is, because of the Bible, that is my defense mechanism. No, I will respect you as a leader if you're doing right. But if you're doing wrong, I will let you know because I have nothing to lose. You can't take nothing from me because you didn't get me anything, so you can have it. It's not that serious. So when you have people that have personalized power, how leaders become corrupt. They don't understand how it looks on them. It don't look well on them at all. You look ugly. You look cantankerous. You look evil. And then leaders that go around bragging about, I carry guns. I carry this. Well, I'm not, let me tell you something. I know people that are good people and they carry guns for whatever reason they have, but I have run into some of the shadiest, shamiest men that sit up and say, oh, well, you know, I know this church better than anybody else. No, you don't know this church. I promise you, you don't, because many of you all that participate with different religious organizations, you tend to miss out on the most important factor of what you are part of. And that is one of the things that that allows the church to be at a corruption part with them. You got all these men that want to be this, but they don't want to be humble enough to feed the homeless, to go out on the street and do real street ministry work. Talking it is one thing. Because you served in the military, because you served in this part of the military, that don't make no, God don't care about that. God cares about your heart and your mind and your soul and your spirit. If your spirit is corrupted, they don't want to fool with you. God ain't going to fool with you. He will turn you over to reprobate mind. My husband has been mentoring one of the preachers, and he's so sweet and whatnot to help him understand his purpose, and he has a purpose. He has a calling. He has the love and the passion of people. We love Bishop Donovan Bernard down in Baltimore. Wonderful man of God. He kind of reminded me of myself when I was, you know, I was in the ministry starting early, you know. But we all in the same group. I'm just saying that the passion he has, and that's what I admire about Bishop Donovan Bernard, because he's a humble man. Unlike some of the boys I know up here, they full of it. I promise you, because I don't have time for that. You know, you try to tell them what is right and what's in order. They get an attitude, want to hang up on you. They do little girlish stuff. That's what little girls do. I can't have my hair done. Huh? I can't have my barber done. That's what girls do. Girls act real witty. Boys don't act like that. What I'm finding out, a lot of these men who call themselves all of this other stuff and titles, a lot of them got boyish mentality, an angry mama boy's reputation. That's what they have. And nobody wants to be around that type of behavior. When you don't want to listen because you feel I'm above everybody else, no, you're not, because God has a way of knocking your behind so flat on your face that you will lose everything. Or as the young folks say, everything. You're going to lose it because your attitude is nasty. All the ones who want to be tough, gun-toting, rude-shooting and Putin, you think you're bad. You get on Facebook. You get on Twitter. Make all kind of stuff. Donovan Bernard is one of the most profound men that basically tell the truth. And I understand where he at. A lot of these men are so arrogant. I don't care how many movies you make. I don't care how many conferences you put on. I don't care how many books you write. If your attitude stinks, don't nobody want to fool with your sinful behavior.
Ooh, okay, I'm sorry.
Anywho, yes, leaders can delude themselves that they are working for the greater good using socialized power, but engage in behavior that is morally wrong. A sense of power can cause a leader to engage in what leadership ethicists, which is Terry Price, calls exception making, believing that the rules that govern what is right and wrong does not apply to the powerful leader for other people. This would be wrong because I have the best interest of my followers at heart. It's okay for me to, during Watergate, that argument was that made President Nixon could have not acted illegally because the president is above the law. Leaders can also become intoxicated by power. That's what I wanted to talk about. You're intoxicated by your title. If your title intoxicates negative, it perceives and throws out to be negative. Nobody cares about your position. Nobody cares about your status. The Bible even talks about, oh boy, let me go to the Word of God. It says, for by grace given me, I say, to every one of you, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's the problem. Because you are an archbishop or bishop or whatever, we're not talking about Jonathan Bernard because we love him. We're talking about these other men in the political and in the religious world. You feel you a bishop, you feel you an archbishop, you a Bishop Supplicant and all that. So what? Who cares? God don't have no heaven or a special heaven or a hierarchy of heaven for bishops, apostles, or whatever they want to call themselves. They don't have it. He don't have it. He don't have it. You become so arrogant that you can't even stay with one woman. You become so arrogant that you can't even provide for your children. You become so arrogant that you can't even build a ministry from scratch. You can't build nothing. All you do is talk. You talk. You talk blubber. Don't nobody want to hear that? 6 years. 6 years. My husband said God gave him the vision to start a ministry called Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry. And it's to reach out to those who were forgotten, that had left the church, that need help, that's on drugs, that's been addict, that have been lost, that need someone to understand where they're at. And I didn't say anything. I didn't get mad. I didn't get hostile. I said, well, what do you to let my fingers do the walking. That's what I did. And when that happened, we started off the same way we are now. Broadcast on the Word is Right. He started, you know, doors started opening him to bring the message. And I didn't want nobody calling me First Lady, because that is what the world have for the president of the United States wife and the governor's wife. Leave the titles to the people for certain things. I'm just a pastor's wife. That's all I am. I have a heart, but my heart can be taken advantage of, and guess what? It is quickly to shut you out, because that means I don't want to fool with you. I don't want to have nothing to do with you because you're not right. When you get saved, I should see something that's totally different in your walk with God than seeing you on YouTube or seeing you on Facebook or talking stuff. And then if you're part of a denomination, if you are part of a denomination, you ought to be able to follow some of the things that they do in their little. We have a little black book, and I sent out an email this morning to the district because it seems though the devil is upset. So I'm going to have Satan tamper off his attitude because I don't have time to be dealing with people and their personal feelings. When you are in a program, you are given a format. And so as being the district administrator for the district and the local church, we have a format. So I was given the format by the jurisdictional secretary. With the jurisdictional secretary doing that, I said, well, whatever we had, let me wait to see if they have something. And, of course, they did. They have a format. I was not going to tell the jurisdictional secretary, well, I will do what I want to do, because I'm not going to do that. And my husband's name in the church ministry is at stake. I'm a fighter, and I promise you, I know my place as a woman, but some of these men that say some of the most damnable things will make you want to cut their head off and throw it in a lake of fire because they're so evil. So I made sure to alert my husband and district missionary that we cannot create our own program because the jurisdictions have their own. We can participate, but we cannot make our own program. Do you think anybody wants to hear that? Yeah, a few of them want to hear it. The rest of them, who cares? That's arrogancy with a title. So when I sent the email out, it was to let everybody know, listen, we have to follow protocol. I'm not going to argue about what I think they should do because I have a book that has a manual in there, and it's the same thing. I'm not going to tell them what I think because of what I feel because of what I want to. No, I will never do that when I'm a part of an organization. I have that much training with my doctoral degree that I set my butt in class to earn to know to respect leadership in the form. When you go to these meetings in your church or political community, you go to the forums, and that's when you open your mouth and tell them what you think. But I'm going to tell you this. You better have facts and not your freaking feelings. You come with something that's going to slam dunk it, but that's the way people act is unheard of and unholy. And it's sad that we got men running through the church and women running through the church or the political scene on a ego trip of your title. God can care less about your title, and he'll throw your head out of the earth and put you in the grave. How about that? Go against God to create the sun and the heavens and the moon and the stars. He will destroy you. I serve a God of love, but I also serve a God of war. And when you are disrespectful to his children, you are going to pay dearly. Back to what I was saying. Romans, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse says, for I say, through the grace of given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more haughty than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That is what the Bible says. What is your theory? God could care less. He can care less. He can care less. Many of you all, but you won't even do simple stuff that makes sense to God because you're too arrogant. Too arrogant. See, an unsaved Trina didn't mind fighting a man because I knew how to kill you. The unsaved Trina knew how to do it. I promise you. But the saved Trina, I don't have time to fool with your end. Because you're not worth the time of day. You literally are not worth the time of day. You're not even renting space in my brain. But this is what we do with titles and egos because it is an ego trip. Like everybody's supposed to honor you or somebody. Let me go back to the scripture. This is what titles do to people. This is what titles do to people. Titles make people stupid. Power has advantages and disadvantages for leaders. On the other positive side, power makes leaders more assertive and confident and certain of their decisions. That is when you make a sound decision based upon the position that you hold as a leader. Walmart, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart and Sam's Club, it took his leadership and vision with him and his brother working together. Many of you all don't know Walmart. Read Walmart. I did a whole research, 45, 54-page paper on Walmart. I know Walmart, on everything with Walmart. And with the leadership, Walmart is where they are today, the biggest retail giant on the globe. So the thing about it, it took a sound mind, effective leader, to forego the future because he knew he wasn't going to live forever. He already knew that. And he said, this is going to grow globally, and it did. It started out with a little old store down in the South, and it became the world's largest retail. Everybody and their mama trying to work at Walmart. And they really do have good benefits if you look at it, if you know what you're looking for. So the thing about it, you can escalate in any part in time of Walmart. I love Walmart. I am a dedicated Walmart shopper. The second best dedication is Amazon. I know these companies. So when you have leaders such as that, and McDonald's, the founder of McDonald's, understand, McDonald's was not based on food. It was based on real estate. See, do your history and read for those of you all who are supposed to be so smart and got all your business stuff. Read and research. Go back to school and learn how to research business administration, international business management. Nobody cares about your military background, all that stuff. If you don't know what's going on now, you have no clue. Complaining all the time. Well, this was this. Come stop complaining and go back to school and get your education and learn about international management and leadership. Leadership plays a very important, vital part in any business or in any religious or political movement. They play a vital part. But if your thinking is not sober, you are a walking time bomb. So Sam Walton became productive with his company, which is now a corporation, Inc., I-N-C, period, or incorporation. So you can be effective. You're not perfected in producing, then basically what you're doing is just holding a seat and not opening your mouth. But you're making out lashes. On the other side, as I spoke earlier, power makes leaders more assertive and confident and certain of their decisions. This enables them to move forward on chosen courses of action. I just said that. Leaders must use power to get the job done, not your attitude. Now let's talk about the negative part. On the negative side, the more people possess power, the more they focus on their own egocentric desires, and they're less able they are to see others' perspectives. That's what I read into yesterday. I don't want to see your perspective. Well, number one, it ain't my perspective. It's the perspective of the church. And if you can't follow it, get your little long stick and your hat bag and keep it moving. Don't let me catch you on social media with your pompous, arrogant self. I don't like people like that. I told my husband last night, I'm done. I'm porterhouse steak done because I don't have time for that. We got a lot of money invested, and we have too much going on. God has blessed us with a building, and I'm not going to worry about folk who don't have no concern about you or God's ministry at all, except on their own terms. That's what you call a pompous windbag. They think highly of themselves. Those are the ones that will eventually self-destruct. My suggestion for those, particularly in the church, go back to the altar and do your first works over again. Take down your title. Your title means nothing to God. God can care less about your title in the world or in. He can care less. What you need to be concerned about is if an earthquake comes and you be falling between the ground. How about that? Use your God-fearing Superman, Wonder Woman, Fantastic Four power to combat God. I bet you won't. Bring yourself down when you're in power position because God, the same way God, you got yourself elevated, God will take you down. You'll be in a nursing home. And then there are individual differences. Some people simply power hungry and prone to use their power to subjugate others. They are leaders from hell. That is another post, I promise you. I promise you. So when you have people that have this type of attitude, you need to stay away from them as far as and begin to do what you need to do. Pastor, I see you made it on the line. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was just I just got on the line. I hadn't even really been able to get a chance to listen to you, but I just want to let you know that you are, I'm always encouraging you because I love you so much, and you're part of me. But I do see the subject that you were talking on. We're talking about titles and things that's going on in the church and all these divisions among people. And, you know, everybody wants to hold. I don't know why they want these titles. Because, number one, they're not going to get you in heaven anyway. And God ain't concerned about what the titles are. And I know that Jesus told his disciples, he said, he who wants to be first, actually I become the least.
Mm-hmm,
and
that's right.
And that God operates in the Kairos and not in the Chronos. So he will reverse the order of everything. So it's, in other words, the one that's sitting at the top, he's going to be put in the back, and the one that's in the back is going to be put at the top.
Mm-hmm,
and,
that's
right. You know, but all these titles, they don't mean anything. What people fail to realize is the word responsibility.
Exactly.
And accountability. Everybody wants to be part of something, but they don't want to put the work in.
Oh, they don't.
They don't want to go out and get on their hands and knees and plug up mouse holes.
Oh, they don't. They sure don't.
Pull the cuckoo bugs from amongst the rose bushes and things like that. You know, and also you got to be careful too. When someone wants to elevate you or put you up somewhere, they will put you up there. And then when it comes time to deal with the responsibility of being up there to support you, you will find that out that you are out there by yourself.
By yourself.
And you don't have any support, monetarily, personal support, or even spiritual support of any type. People won't even call you to say, how did everything go? What is it that I can do to help you? I think y'all full of bull. That's what I think. When you put somebody up there like that, you need to be taken out to the alley, and you need to be given an old street butt whipping.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you know, now I know that we have a religious show, but I'm talking about religion.
Uh-huh.
See, when the money changers didn't do what they were supposed to do, and they trying to get the money from the people before they even get into the house of God, they were on the courts of the Gentiles. That's
right,
where the Gentiles
right.
come, so that they can go and see and at least get a taste of God.
Exactly.
Because they couldn't go and partake in the temple. And these people were getting in the way of the Gentiles coming to see God. What did Jesus do? Jesus gave him an old-fashioned street butt weapon.
He did, right there
in front in the court, in the temple court. He whooped they behind. And some of these people, they need it.
They really do.
You know, and you say in the world, the political scene, we expect for stuff like that to go on in the political scene.
Exactly.
You don't expect these people to do this in the religious scene or in the church scene.
Nope, that's
right. We got the battling bishops. I talked about that Sunday. Battling bishops. One bishop in one denomination, the other one in another denomination. One threatened to kill the other one.
Yeah, they sure did. They want to kill somebody. Why do they want to kill somebody? You a bishop and you want to threaten somebody's life? What is that's not normal. That's not normal behavior. Bishop Mason was not a part of that kind of foolishness. You know, everybody that I know that know you, honey, they told me to let you know to be encouraged, because even though when God opened the door, God can use one person to do something, but if that one person go against the purpose and the will of God, he will tear that person down and bring you who you need, because that's who he wants to be a part of your calling and the ministry that he gave you. Everybody that know, they's like, you know what? That's just Satan being mad. If you ain't stable here, you ain't stable nowhere else. God has blessed you in 6 years. God has blessed you. The doors have opened. When God used one person or two maybe, that don't mean that they're going to always be there. They cannot take the glory of what God did. Because if God used a person and they man all of a sudden later become reprobated, trust me, who God wants to be with you in the district and that church will be who is going to stay. And they're not going to be willy-nilly and dippy-dabby all over the place. That's God has a reason for opening up doors. He does. And I told him, I said, I will pass that word to you. Be encouraged. You got me. You have district missionary. You have the district as a whole, whether we large or small, and you have the local church. That is what, who is your background and bone, and God is going to do what he want to do. God will eliminate those who are the haters, those who want to come and disrupt a program that God already has set forth. When these men are sitting up and they get on YouTube and they fussing and fighting and showing on instant messages who going to kill who, they are not saved. They literally are not saved. They need to get out of the church and go back to the world and stay there because that's what they love the best. They want to come over into the church and bring the world stuff. Uh-uh. That ain't nuh-uh. Bishop Mason didn't go like that. So a lot of them never got saved. And a lot of them are angry. And like I told, and you see the email I sent out to the district. If you got a problem, bring your head down there to the General Assembly on tomorrow night. Open your mouth. Say what you got to say. Stop talking on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else. Do your venting out right there. Say what you got to say. I may have recorded a song say, say what you need to say. I'm sorry. I'm just tired of seeing. I'm tired of seeing. Honey, you have a big weekend. You don't have time to allow anything or anybody. If people don't want to call because they want to be stupid, then let them be stupid and stay okay. Because that means they're not blessing, being a blessing. They're being a distraction. And in this time and day and time, no more distractions. No more distractions. The world has its own problems to deal with. In the church world, people won't come to church because you got too many leaders and got an ego problem. Where ego can go on where ego is. That's all there is to it. I'm sorry.
Amen. I think we out of time.
Yeah, we are. It's a get ready to sweat. It's hot and very humid today. So listen, everyone, those of you all that are on Facebook, I did put the segment up there. You are more than welcome to listen at it again, as well as understand that this weekend is a very, very important weekend for Redeeming Fellowship Outreach Ministry, and look to see you there. Honey, any last words or encouragement you want to give before I close out?
Well, be encouraged. That's all I can say. That's what they've been telling me, so that's what I'm going to tell you. To be encouraged.
Amen, amen. We will be closing out with Time Machine by the late W.R. Bless. Thank you.